Hi, welcome to this Microsoft Virtual Academy training on how to automate workloads with System Center Orchestrator. I'm Simon Perriman from Microsoft, joined by Gordon McKenna from Infomon. Now, over the course of the day, we're going to be taking a look at a lot of different integration packs. Now, integration packs are the basic unit of automation management that go and fit in within System Center Orchestrator. Generally, these integration packs are focused and managed per workload. So we have integration packs for SQL Server, for Exchange Server, things like that. But what we're going to cover throughout the course of the day is starting off by an entire module of best practices around how to actually plan, design, run books, and how they interact with the integration packs, and then secondly, go break it down and cover each of the different integration packs. Before we go into too much detail, though, I want to allow Gordon to introduce himself.
Thank you, Simon. So my name is Gordon McKenna. I'm a Microsoft MVP in cloud and data center management. I'm also a CEO at Microsoft Gold Partner Infomon, based out of the UK. So we're a systems integrator and managed service provider, providing services around the Microsoft desktop and cloud stack.
Great, thanks. And I'll introduce myself. I'm Simon Perriman. I am currently the Vice President of Business Development and Marketing for Five9 Software that produces Hyper-V management solutions. Prior to that, I've been at Microsoft for about 7.5 years as a technical evangelist covering the System Center and Windows Server technologies, as well as a program manager on the Windows Server team, where I worked on actually designing and building different high availability features with failover clustering. Additionally, I've been working on a side project that we're going to talk about a little later, known as Scorch Center, which allows us to actually create integration packs for you, where we have a great list of all of the different integration packs developed by the community and third parties. Now, with that, let's take a quick look at the course topics for the day. Again, we're going to start off with our long introductory module. This is going to be technical, and we're going to really give you all these best practices around graphical authoring, automation, and integration, which Orchestrator provides. After you've watched this introductory module, we recommend that you pick and choose the modules which are relevant for the workloads that you wish to automate. You can see that we have many of the core Windows Server technologies, System Center, and then even third-party technologies taking a look at integration with Linux. Now, as far as the expectations that we have for you guys, the audience out there, we are expecting people to have some basic familiarity with System Center Orchestrator. This course is not designed to be an introduction to Orchestrator, and we have other Microsoft Virtual Academy courses on the topic. Additionally, you should have some basic working knowledge of that specific workload which you wish to monitor, so that you can more effectively go and design your runbooks. As far as the versions that we're discussing, we will be focusing on System Center 2012 R2 Orchestrator, though these best practices, for the most part, are going to be absolutely applicable to System Center 2012 RTM. As far as the integration packs themselves, we're going to be taking a look at the latest versions, which are available at the time of this recording, at the start of 2015. Additionally, here's some recommended resources that can help you learn some additional information. First of all, we have a module in a previously created course that takes a look at how you can automate a VMware infrastructure via Orchestrator. We also have an entire course around service management automation, which is a new automation technology available with the Windows Azure Pack. And we're going to be talking a little bit at the end of this module about comparing and contrasting the difference between Orchestrator and SMA. If you want some hands-on experience, we recommend checking out this hands-on lab that's available as a hosted virtual lab that will actually allow you to do some basic management, create some runbooks, and test some automation using Orchestrator. If you want to learn more about the future direction of Orchestrator, check out this TechEd Europe presentation around data center integration with automation. And of course, check out our entire list of free ebooks that are available covering the entire suite of System Center technologies, including books specific to runbook design with System Center Orchestrator. Let's get started on our first module. In this first module, we're going to be taking a look at the basics of Orchestrator runbook management, integration packs, and some best practices around designing those. But I'm now going to turn it over to Gordon, who's going to give us a little more detailed overview of the agenda for this module.
Thanks, Simon. So firstly, we're going to do an overview of integration packs, one of the cornerstones of the Orchestrator product. We're then going to look at some of the configuration that you can do around Orchestrator and within the product. We're then going to look at some of the built-in activities, and I'm going to give an overview of the Orchestrator activities in a demo. We're then going to look at some of the best practices around implementing Orchestrator. We're going to talk about building your own integration pack. And then finally, we're going to do a compare between Orchestrator and service management automation in Windows Azure Pack. So first of all, let's take a look at integration packs. So integration packs really are the functionality element of Orchestrator. So they contain a number of activities that are specific to a particular product area or type of infrastructure that we're interacting with. Also, they can be obtained from Microsoft, so you can download them from the Microsoft website, or there are a number of third-party vendors that also provide integration packs, as well as a whole host of community-based packs that you can get to from areas like CodePlex. So what is included in an integration pack? Well, we have a concept of an activity. I like to think of an activity as a visual object that represents a script or an API call or an action. If you think about it in most organizations, I'll give an example of PowerShell. Many people use PowerShell, but actually, the knowledge within PowerShell tends to exist within a few people within the organization. And what actually happens is every time somebody wants to run a particular PowerShell routine, they go to that particular person that has the knowledge. Well, think about taking that PowerShell activity and turning it into an object and adding some parameters that you pass to that PowerShell script. And then what you have then is the ability for other people in the organization who aren't necessarily PowerShell experts to be able to kind of run activities with a minimum amount of knowledge of the underlying code that's in there. So that's kind of more or less what an activity is. It's either a script or a PowerShell call, or it could be like an integration into an API.
And I certainly see a lot of larger organizations where they're actually distributing and sharing these scripts or these workflows to really take advantage of that. Because if you have new people joining the organization and you can visually understand a script by looking at the elements, it really simplifies the onboarding, reduces barriers to adoption, and just helps people better understand what's happening with this script. So definitely a great opportunity for larger organizations or places where you do have to share and distribute these scripts or these scripted type activities too.
Okay, as well as activities, we also have integration pack guides bundled with the integration packs. And these really just run you through the activities that are in the pack, use case scenarios for them, how you configure them, and how you can actually do some of the integrations and runbook flows within the Orchestrator console. So let's talk about activities. So every integration pack by nature has to include at least one activity. Now activities perform a specific function against an application or a platform. So that could be an API call. So for example, we could be connecting into a management product, a help desk product, or another platform that we have in the environment. And what we do is we can pull off the API slots for that application, and then we create an activity for each API slot. Users can then actually take the activity, pass parameters to it, and put those activities together in a workflow that actually performs a meaningful action end to end. So activities are then added to the runbook. They're configured for the particular environment. And by adding multiple activities together, you can automate business processes, such as, for example, adding a user to an Active Directory group, which is a common one, or maybe even resetting a user's password in Active Directory.
So let's talk a little more about security and permissions. You know, we're working with this large model. There may be other consumers of resources. What are kind of these best practices around, you know, the permissions with our integration pack?
Okay, so we can create folders which contain individual runbooks, and then we can actually permission those folders for individual users. We also have the ability to set individual accounts that activities can run under and runbooks can run against. So we can tie that to particular platforms that we've got in the environment.
Now, what about variables? You know, let's say I want to go and run a script, something like that. Is there a way for me to save things like credentials?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a concept of global variables, which could be variables that run runbooks centrally. So for example, if we have a help desk system in the environment, I could have a set of global variables that represent the access to that particular product. We also have the ability to connect two products and provide provide credentials as well. So for example, Active Directory, we can connect to that and provide a set of credentials. Generally, we can also connect to individual system center elements. So each runbook or set of activities that we've got can actually have its own set of permissions that are assigned against it. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about integration pack guides. So they normally contain information on how to import the integration pack into Orchestrator. They also include instruction on how you can configure the connection that the application was designed for. The information about each activity, including how they're configured, is also included in the integration pack guide. So general guidance on how to set this up and run it. So let's talk about how the integration pack works. So the very first thing that we do is we deploy the integration pack with a deployment server within the Orchestrator infrastructure. This is then registered with the Orchestrator management server, and we then deploy the integration pack to runbook servers that we got located in the environment. So typically a runbook server would be located near where you want to run the activities. So I might have multiple sites, for example, and I might have a runbook server in each of the sites that's local to where the activities are being run. We also have another concept of a runbook designer. Runbook designer is really where we go in and pull our activities together in a runbook, test, and then deploy those activities. So we also have a connection between Orchestrator and the application that the integration pack uses. So for example, that could be a connection into an API for a management platform like Hyper-V or VMware, for example. And that's configured within the runbook designer. And then we can actually do testing against that platform before we make that runbook live. So typically, activities within an integration pack are configured with a connection that allow it to access the application. And we'll demonstrate this a little bit later on when we kind of look at the Orchestrator console. So security and permissions. So we touched on this.
I got a little bit ahead of here.
You did. We touched on this a little bit earlier. So, you know, integration packs will require specific permissions for the application that we connect to, as we mentioned. And typically, the account's added to the connection in the runbook designer. So we'll show that a little bit later on, and we'll show you how you can go in and connect to individual platforms. As we also talked about, credentials can also be stored as variables and then used in relevant activities as you move forward.
Now, you mentioned several different components that are part of the Orchestrator overall solution. Let's go through each of these one at a time and maybe give us a quick example of, you know, why they're important, why they're relevant, and why they're necessary for this automation solution.
Okay, perfect. So let's talk about the Orchestrator components then. So the first component that we have is a management server. So, you know, this is kind of similar to the management servers that we have in Operations Manager and Configuration Manager, in that it controls the basic functions of the Orchestrator group that we're running. We then have a runbook designer. A runbook designer is actually where we go in and work out our runbooks and our workflows and test them before we deploy them in the environment.
And that's primarily what we're going to be looking at today, right?
That's primarily what we're going to be looking at today as well, yeah. So the runbook server is where we actually execute those runbooks from. So, you know, in a lot of scenarios, you might have the runbook designer and the runbook server together on the same host. So that you can actually design the runbook and then execute on the runbook server. And as I mentioned, you know, in the earlier slide, typically we might have more than one runbook server in the environment, and they would typically be located in locations close to where we're actually running the runbooks and the activities. We also have a deployment manager. So again, as kind of touched on previously, the deployment manager is actually where we register the integration packs and then deploy them in the environment. We can also use the deployment manager to deploy new runbook servers in the environment as well. Another element that we have is a runbook tester. A runbook tester typically sits with the runbook designer, and it's kind of quite similar to the way that you kind of test code within Visual Studio. You're able to toggle and put breaks in the code and follow it all the way through. The orchestration console is our main portal for running runbooks and seeing runbooks that are running already in the environment and viewing different instances of runbooks. So we've got the ability to start and stop a runbook in that environment, as well as kind of view ones that are running already. The orchestration console is actually the way that we interact with runbooks in the orchestrator environment. So we can stop and start runbooks from the orchestration console. We can also view existing instances of runbooks that are running, as well as kind of visualize the runbook in a fashion that lets us understand how the activities connect together. We also have an Orchestrator web service. So the Orchestrator web service allows us to interact with Orchestrator runbooks via other platforms or products. A really good example is in Operations Manager, we have a concept of a monitor, and a monitor has a recovery task. So what we could do from a recovery task in response to an event that's happened in the environment is we could execute a runbook via the OREST API, that's the Orchestrator REST API, that's contained within the Orchestrator web service. And finally, we also have an Orchestrator database. So the Orchestrator database is used primarily to store configuration data that we put into Orchestrator.
And just to clarify, this is a SQL database?
It is a SQL database, okay. Yeah. And you know, a number of these components as well in a typical environment might install on the same host. And again, you know, if you look in at the other MVA course that goes deeper into the deployment around Orchestrator, you'll get some best practice guidance around what components to put where.
Now, just to confirm, though, it would be fully supported to run all of these components on a single server if you had enough resources to logically support
that. Yeah, absolutely, okay. Absolutely, yeah. I mean, and in a test scenario, that might be exactly how you want to run them. One little caveat that I do want to say here is the runbook tester that we talked about is a very powerful tool. You know, once you've created your runbook, you want to execute that runbook and you want to test that runbook before you put it into production. Out of the box, though, you typically connect to production-type components. Make sure when you're running the runbook tester that you're not connecting to live systems. Nothing worse than disabling the Active Directory account of your colleague sat next to you by mistake because you're testing a runbook. So just a little bit of best practice guidance there. You can deploy multiple runbook servers in a load balancing scenario. So that's actually supported with there. And that gives you high availability for runbooks that are running. An example would be, I have a runbook on one server that's executing. I have that runbook server go down. We'll flip to the second runbook server and re-execute that runbook from the starting point. So we can have the same runbooks on both runbook servers in a kind of highly available load balancing or load balancing and a highly available configuration. You can also cluster the Orchestrator database, or use Always On, which seems to be a common way that people are providing availability to SQL now. And you must as well remember to configure the Orchestrator service accounts appropriately. Very important to allow you to kind of have access to the relevant objects as well. By default, each runbook server can run 50 runbooks simultaneously. Now, this is a hard-coded limit, but not in Orchestrator. It's in the Windows Server operating system. It's not recommended, really, that you run over 50 runbooks simultaneously. So when you hit that 50 mark, it's recommended that you put in a second runbook to provide that kind of load balancing.
Great. So now, after we've actually gone and we've added this integration pack, so we've gone through the deployment manager, we've registered the integration pack, what are the next steps to actually go and create the connection between our runbook designer and those activities to the actual workload that we want to monitor or automate against?
Okay, so let's talk about that element. So configuring connections in Orchestrator for Integration Packs. So connections basically provide Orchestrator with the security accounts and credentials it needs to be able to automate tasks against the application that the integration pack is meant for. So you can have multiple connections configured for different environments. So might have multiple Hyper-V environments or multiple virtual machine manager environments, I should say. And I might have a different set of credentials for each virtual machine management environment. So therefore, I can set up a different set of credentials for each individual connection. And then I can just utilize these when I actually put together the runbook and automate the tasks.
So let's say I want to go and connect to four different VMM management servers. Would I be able to go and create four separate connections?
Yes, absolutely. And that's typically what you would do so that you have those four sets of credentials stored for usage with the runbooks.
Now, we talked about security a little bit, but what about security and actually securing the username, the password, and these specific credentials? How is that done and managed within Orchestrator?
So, really good question. And actually, it's my understanding that when we actually put user credentials into Orchestrator, they're actually encrypted and put into the database in an encrypted fashion. And again, when you pull those credentials out, we de-encrypt that data as well. So it's pretty secure. If somebody was to grab hold of your database, it'd be pretty difficult for them to grab those user credentials without the encryption key.
Great. Now, let's talk a little bit about the data flow. So as I look to this, these examples, this graphic runbooks designers, I see one activity, connect to a different activity, connect to a different activity. Can you just talk about how that data, those parameters get passed through?
Yeah, I kind of think that Orchestrator runbooks are kind of like Venn diagrams where we kind of have a yes and a no scenario with it. Now, these are actually called smart links within Orchestrator. So, for example, I might have an activity where I have an alert in Operations Manager comes up that's telling me I've got a disk space problem. So, the first smart link would go to an activity that would assess what that problem is. Based on the outcome of that, I might have a smart link going to one activity and a smart link going to another activity. So it's a way of really joining activities together with a little bit of intelligence. Other examples are, if a condition is met, I have a yes. If a condition isn't met, I have a no. And based on those two outcomes, then, I would actually go down a different path and execute a different activity. So, they're a really good way of configuring the flow of the runbook. And actually, without the smart links, the activity objects just sit there and don't have any kind of workflow flow with them. So you can also use include and exclude filters to determine when an activity is completed. And also as well, it's important to note that a single activity can branch into multiple activities when smart links have been configured appropriately.
Now, one of the other components I've heard about Orchestrator is the data bus. Can you talk a little bit more about how we actually take parameters and pass those variables through between the different activities?
Yeah, absolutely. So, the data bus is probably one of the real strengths of the whole kind of runbook design. And what it basically means is when I connect initially with an object, and I'll give you an example. I might have a service manager service request where a user puts in a ton of information about a virtual machine that they want.
So like the name of the virtual machine, the virtual networks, the memory, that type of info.
Yeah, what kind of disk they want for it. But also things like email address, user account, those kind of information that we might put in. Now, what we can actually do as we flow down on our provisioning workflow, we might, for example, call on a service template. We might then do some configuration on that service template. And at each activity point on the workflow, we can actually call back in on that original data that was inputted from the service manager console. So that data sits on what we call the data bus. And the very last activity that we do might be to send an email to the user to tell them that their virtual machine's been provisioned. And again, we can actually subscribe to data on that data bus. So in the email section, when I'm sending an email, I subscribe to data, I go and look at the data that's sitting on my bus, and one of those data points might be email address. I pick that up and I actually subscribe to the email address, and whatever the user puts in will automatically get submitted in that field.
Great. So it basically allows us to pull out these parameters. Now, I think another big strength of the data bus is the way that it provides integration across different unrelated activities. Since we're essentially taking parameters from one activity, putting them into integers, into variables, into strings, and then inject them into other activities, it actually allows us to go send data between these different and often unrelated systems. So another example that we see customers do is a VMware to Hyper-V migration. They'll start with the VMware virtual machine. They'll take these different components from the vCenter server, so the name of the VM, the memory, the size. Those are now as variables. go through the data bus, and then we can re-extract those variables and plug them into Virtual Machine Manager to create a Hyper-V VM. So we take the parameter of the name of the VM from one side, put it in the text, and then transfer it out to the name back over in Hyper-V. So again, another key strength is that integration that it provides too. Now with that, Orchestrator itself actually does include several built-in integration packs. We call these our built-in activities, so let's spend a couple minutes walking through those.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to touch on these initially from a description point of view, and then we're going to jump in and kind of have a look at some of them in the Runbook Designer. So we have system activities. So these allow me to interact with common scenarios that I might have within my enterprise. So for example, I might have SNMP related objects that I want to either do gets against, or I might even want to monitor for an SNMP trap. So I can simply drag this object onto my designer, and I can click into the parameters and I can specify things like specific OIDs that I'd want to collect on. We can also query WMI. We can hit restart systems within this as well. So a common activity might be that we've carried out some patching and we want to restart a system automatically. Or, you know, even we might have a change request that we've done within Service Manager, and then we want to schedule a restart of a system to happen over the weekend. So we can actually add that activity into our runbook and schedule a restart of the system by specifying parameters like server name and how you want to restart in what type of fashion. We've also got the run.net script. Now, despite the name, this can actually be used to run a number of different script formats, including PowerShell. So if you want, a PowerShell is a real common execution vehicle for Orchestrator. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, a lot of people kind of use PowerShell in the environment. And if we can take PowerShell activities and produce workflow objects at them, that's quite useful. And the run.net script is how we do that. So also we can just run a command line program. Simon mentioned about us going cross systems. Well, we could run an SSH command against a Linux system, for example. You know, so we could take data from a Windows system, pass that into the data bus, and actually run that data against a Linux system via secure SSH. We've also got the ability to save event log data, as well as kind of start and stop services. So we also have scheduling activity as well. So scheduling just says what it does on the tin. It allows me to schedule an activity object. We have monitoring as well, all the way through to utilities, text file, and runbook control. I think what we'll do is we'll dive in and take a look at some of these activities, and I can show you the context of them within the UI.
A common question that I get asked is, what's the difference between an activity and an activity set within Orchestrator? So as we talked about earlier, an activity is that single discrete task, such as get information. Now, what happened with Orchestrator is, as we started to go build these up and add more and more activities, a single integration pack could get overwhelming. It might have 100, 200 different activities in it, and that kind of makes it complicated to manage within this interface. So there's actually a programming concept that many of the newer integration packs use called an activity set. And with an activity set, you're basically taking a theme such as disk management. When you go and add that object into the runbook designer, it will then actually prompt you and say, within this disk activity, what do you want to do to the disk? Do you want to add it? Do you want to delete it? Do you want to start it, stop it, copy it, export it, import it, etc.? So this is going to be a concept that you may see again with some of the more advanced integration packs, but definitely a simpler way to manage. And that's just a quick overview of an activity, that one object, versus an activity set, this collection of objects. With that, let me turn it back over to Gordon. I think he's ready to take us through the demo.
Okay, thank you. And just going back to activity set, a really good example of that is Azure.
Yeah, they do a great job. They're actually one of the first activity or first integration packs to the market that did that.
Yeah.
So if you're a developer, there's a whole blog out there about how to go program that, how to include it in the OIK, the Orchestrator Integration Kit.
Okay, so over to the demo. So we talked around some of the system elements in here, so you can actually see them in the flesh here in the UI. Scheduling just gives us the ability to either set a date and time with which to run a runbook, or actually check a specific schedule and run a runbook against the schedule as well. Monitoring actually, we do have an operations manager integration pack, but monitoring lets us do some very basic monitoring against the system. A common usage is I have a number of users that actually use operation managers to monitor things like disk space, but they might want to double check that disk space condition when the ops manager alert comes in, or it might be that you're running a runbook that actually tries to fix a system down issue, and at the end of that runbook, you might want to run a monitor IP, which actually checks whether that particular server's up again from a ping. We also have file management as well. So we can do a number of different things, such as copy a file or create a folder or decompress or compress a file. We also delete folders as well, get file status and various kind of file management elements. Email actually lets us send an email. You know, it might be that, again, we gave that scenario provision in the VM.
Now, with something like send an email, we got to have contact to something like an email server, an SMTP server. Is that a requirement, or how exactly would that work?
Yeah, so obviously we require an SMTP server that we can send that to. We could use Exchange for that, for example, or, you know, we might have a kind of standalone SMTP server that we send the email out with.
Now, is that like a configuration setting? Is that something where you could show us actually going up and just take a look at what that kind of configuration layout looks like?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, let's talk about that a little bit. So you remember we talked earlier on about configuring integration packs. So you can see here that I've got a number of configuration items for some configuration packs that I've got in there. So if I look at the Operations Manager one, for example, you can see that I've got a connection to Operations Manager, I've got the domain and the server. And if I kind of just edit that, you can see where I put in my domain user and password and the poll interval that I have to be able to do that. For more general settings, you can also see in here that I've got some general settings where I can configure elements within the console. And I've also got some elements that I can configure around my orchestration console as well. And you know, let's just run through a couple of these elements and I'll show you a very simple runbook. So notification as well as email, I might want to send a message to the event log. So you know, I might have a platform that's polling the event log. I could send a platform message as well if I've got another management platform in my environment. Or I could insert a message into a syslog, for example, in my environment as well. We have some utilities. These are elements such as comparing values and generating random text or even kind of modifying counters or querying XML within there. Another one is text file management. This is where we can actually interact with text files in the environment.
So that would be like parsing something. If somebody submitted a request in a text file, you could go and extract data from that or go right to a text file?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And that's, you know, a common thing that you might want to do natively in the environment. And you know, one of the other native ones that we get is runbook control. So this is where we can actually have an action where we're waiting on some data to initialize a runbook. So that could be an example that I gave earlier on with Service Manager integration. Service Manager actually has a connector into Orchestrator, which actually sucks up all the runbooks and allows you to reference them in Service Manager workflows. How that actually appears in Orchestrator is you have an initialized data where data is being passed. We also could have a return data function within a runbook, a junction where we junction off onto multiple different runbooks that run from a junction point. You might want to run a number of different activities in parallel to invoking one runbook from another runbook.
So does this mean that one runbook can actually speak to another, which could speak to another? Are these designed modularly, and is that a good best practice?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you might have a situation where you need to run multiple workflows to find certain information. So you have a junction point where they go off, and then you might have a junction point back in where they meet, so that you can evaluate the data that those have done, and then you take an action based on that data.
Now, another good best practice that we hear as well is when you're actually going and designing these runbooks, if you can make them as modular as possible, it allows you to recall and reuse elements. So for example, you might have a series of steps that sends an email when a task is completed. Rather than redoing those series of steps every single time you create a runbook, you could have a runbook that says, complete this specific task, you know, send an email, document it, etc. And then every time you need to go perform that task, one runbook calls another. So you can basically use these different runbooks as building blocks to go and create these more complicated, more advanced, and integrated solutions as well.
Okay, so what I just to final on the demo, I just kind of wanted to show you how these activities come together. So I'm just going to drag and drop a monitor service on here. And if I double click on that, you can see that I specify a computer that I want to attach to. I then specify that service. So if I just put my host in here, and you can see that when I go to that, it instantly gives me a list of all the services that are running on that host. So I'm actually just going to pick a service on there. And I'm going to trigger when either a service is started or whether it's stopped or paused. Well, in this instance, I'm interested in it when it's stopped or paused. And I've got an option there that I might just automatically restart that service. But for this one, I want to kind of do some investigation of that. So I'm going to finish that. And what I actually want to do is I want to add an email notification in. So I'm going to drag an email notification to let a user know that service has stopped. And then I'm going to take an action, which is to actually start that service. So I've just dragged in a number of objects. Now, on their own, they don't really do anything together. But you can see here that I've got this little arrow out here. And if I highlight over it, I get a little X. And then I can actually just join these services together. And you can see that I get one of those little arrows that joins up. And actually what I've got now is, if I double click the arrow, I can say if the monitor service returns success. In this instance, we're looking at the service stopped. So that would be a success because that's the condition we're looking at to. Then move on to the next element. Again, the send mail then, we would send a mail out to the subject and the recipients. And you remember me mentioning earlier about subscribing to data on the data bus. If I right click on that and subscribe, I can actually go to publish data, which might contain the email address, or I can actually go to one of my variables that I might have published. So I might have an administrator email in my environment. And I can actually, from a message as well, I can also subscribe to data in that message. So from a published data point of view, I might put the name of the computer. I might then also add in here the fact that that service status has stopped. So I've actually created a text file message without me actually having to write any input in. That's dynamic based on the runbook that's running. And finally, once I've sent out that email, send mail equals success, I can then do an action where I start and stop the service. So again, I could subscribe here to my published data, and I could go back to that monitor service, put in the computer that I'm running at, again, subscribe to that service that I've done in that original monitor. So I could go to the real name of that service. And then I could add any parameters and I could say the action, and my action is to start the service. So you can see I've created a, you know, very simple runbook hit there, which detects a service down, sends an email out to a user, and then starts that service. And I've dived into that data bus and accessed subscribe to data that's on that data bus.
Great. Well, thanks for that demo. That was a really good, quick introduction. One question that I get asked a lot as well is around, can I virtualize these different orchestrator components? The answer to that is absolutely. You know, within Microsoft, we have a common engineering criteria where all engineering teams have to ensure that their products work in a virtualized environment, specifically with Hyper-V. So if you want to deploy this, fully virtualized, running in VMs, it's absolutely supported. And as a best practice, you would put those VMs on top of a failover cluster so that you get high availability and live migration features too. Well, let's get back to the presentation. I think you have a series of best practices to walk us through.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about some best practices around the individual components within here. So the first one is around the runbook designer. So again, you know, best practice is to kind of run this on a runbook server. It's a typical way that you do, and then you don't get kind of any latency between those. A lot of people kind of tend to try and run that on a workstation or another type of element like that. We've just found that it's more effective running that where you've got that particular runbook server. The deployment manager, again, can run on the same box there. But some people prefer to put that on a separate box along with, separate box on its own. The runbook tester, again, you would typically run with the runbook designer. because again, you kind of want to test that scenario. The orchestration console is a really good console that you can use for verifying how an activity is running. So within the Runbook Designer, we have a log file action where we can go in and view the status of logbooks. But actually, the orchestration console is a great way to go in and view what the real-time status of a runbook is, and also start and stop runbooks very easily. And of course, because it's a web console, it's nice and easy to access. Orchestrated database as well. You know, quite typically in some System Center environments, we'll put that on the same box as other System Center components, particularly as some people may not be aware, but you get a free SQL license with System Center. It is a standard edition, so we talk a lot about SQL Always On. You won't be able to do SQL Always On because you need a minimum of enterprise for that. But if you're looking for a kind of cheap deployment, you know, perhaps in dev and test or pre-prod, then actually you can deploy a standard database and actually put all your components on that as well. Some best practices around runbooks. Okay, so when designing runbooks, a couple of best practices to consider: always add error handling activities to your runbooks. So wherever you're creating an activity that's going out and doing an action or interacting, for example, creating a VM or you know, adding a user to Active Directory, create error handling within that runbook. So you can actually put errors off to a text file, and then later down the line, should your runbook fail, you can go in and view those activities and understand where that's failed. Rename your activities, yeah? So if you're using the activity for a specific role, a good practice is to rename that activity so it's specific to that role. If I'm adding a user to Active Directory to a group and it's for SharePoint purposes, you can rename that activity so it actually does what it says on the tin. Reduce the number of activities wherever possible. Some people get carried away when they're creating runbooks and add activities all over there. You kind of was shown from the demo, you know, the sometimes the simple activities can be, you know, the most effective in there. So try not to add too much activities to your runbook. Enable comments when you're checking in. So we have a concept of checking in code, which again is very much like Visual Studio. Add comments when you check in so you know the reason that you checked in. It might be a version number or it might be something that you've added to that runbook. It's very useful later down the line when you're looking back over your test activities that you've done to understand the reason that you've done in. Back up your runbooks. There's an import-export utility within the product where you can export your runbooks out. Once you've kind of got to a good place for your runbooks, export them out, keep a backup copy of them. Use a really good naming convention for your runbooks and folders. Yeah, a good best practice is to group your runbooks by the particular application that you're running or the particular business service that you've done or the particular business group and put all your activities within that particular folder. And that's really important because as your activities build up, you can lose track of what activities are where. Use variables and computer groups wherever possible. If you know, you have a particular interaction to a system and you know, you're always going to use the same security credential to access that, create global variables or computer groups and assign them globally within the orchestrated console. Create good documentation for your runbooks. You can actually export your diagrams out and then you can actually add knowledge to those diagrams. Definitely document wherever possible. When my team are in the field creating runbooks, we create as much documentation as possible so we can understand how to recreate those runbooks, but also understand their purpose and how the activities are used. Create labels for your smart links. Yeah, so we showed the smart links earlier on. One of the functions that I can do in the designer is actually add a label to that smart link so I understand what the workflow is behind that. You can also create smart link colors. Now, this is extremely useful when you're running multiple workflows together because I can understand which workflow does. A common place where we use link colors is when we're kind of routing alerts, for example, from a monitoring platform to a help desk platform. So I might have different severities and different priorities, and I can group them by color within the console so I understand how things are being routed. Runbooks can get complicated when you get dived into this. So labeling and coloring can be a very useful way that you can identify stuff quickly when you're looking at the runbooks. enable runbook logs to an external system. So obviously we can write internally to runbook logs, but actually creating runbook logs that output to a central log can be a very useful thing. Anybody that looked at the Operations Manager Orchestrator course will know we don't monitor runbook specifically within Operations Manager. So outputting to an external place where we can store the log file data and then writing rules and monitors in Operations Manager to pick up those can be a great way that you monitor your Orchestrator system. Test runbooks in development. I mentioned this earlier on. You know, it's very easy to get carried away with a runbook tester and add in production systems that we're going to access. But remember, they are production systems. So create test systems that you can also log into. So this might be a test platform or an environment, or even a dev and test Active Directory, and test your runbooks against those dev and test environments. Make sure you don't make those changes in production. So quite a fair few best practices there. Around designing runbooks. Just take heed of some of them, be careful with how you do them. Orchestrator can be a very powerful platform for you, and it can be a very rewarding platform from a development point of view, because you can add massive amounts of business value with this product. But just make sure you're careful and you're formulated and you document and label everything as we kind of mentioned in the last slide.
Now, over this next section, building your own integration pack, I just want to spend a minute on that. Our best resource here is an MVA module that we created recently. Module 2 is part of this course, our System Center Extensibility course, where it will walk you through all the basics of actually going and building your own integration pack. At a high level, there's really two options. One is if you're a .NET developer, you could go write your own code for each individual activity. Or alternatively, there's a little wizard that's available where you can go and plug in something like a PowerShell commandlet, and that will go and generate the resource DLL for that activity for you. So again, you can either write your own, or you can go generate your own activity. Now, once you have a collection of these several discrete activities, you can then go through a separate tool, the runbook engine, which will actually bundle them all together and actually create an integration pack for you. So one of the biggest advantages of Orchestrator is its extensibility. So if you want to go build a custom integration pack for your own line of business application or another third-party application, that's definitely available to you. And get started by checking out this course. Now, as we move on, Microsoft, especially System Center, has started to look at a different automation solution known as SMA, or Service Management Automation. This is a component within the Windows Azure Pack, but I'm going to turn it back over to Gordon. Why don't you kind of walk us through what this is, how it works?
Yeah, no problem at all. So Service Management Automation is a feature of Windows Azure Pack. What's very interesting about it, it's the same feature that's actually developed in the public cloud offering of Azure.
Azure Automation, right?
Yeah, Azure Automation, yeah. It's exactly the same kind of code base. And they were kind of developed in tandem together and actually by the Orchestrator team. So, you know, it's the same kind of brains behind this as is behind the Orchestrator product.
That's right.
Now, what SMA is really a very powerful PowerShell engine where you can execute PowerShell code to be able to perform certain functions in your environment as well. So, you know, we're seeing a lot of use case scenarios where SMA and Orchestrator are used together. You can use SMA to execute code directly, but we're finding some integration into, for example, via integration packs into management platforms, you can actually evoke a runbook in Orchestrator via the Orchestrator web API, and you can actually use SMA to kick that off. So an example might be, I might be doing some IaaS VMs within Windows Azure Pack, and I might want to kick off some functions that, for example, go into Configuration Manager and install some code on one of those virtual machines. So I could create that VM. Once that VM's been provisioned, I kick off an SMA workflow automatically, which goes and evokes a runbook, which deploys a Configuration Manager task sequence that actually goes back to that machine. And again, with the service bus data, some of the data that I'd pass from SMA to Orchestrator would be that virtual machine name that's been provisioned. And then, you know, I can add that data into the task sequence so I know which machine to go in and add that to. So, you know, SMA really, you know, enables automation creating and monitoring of deploying resources in Windows Azure Pack. primarily, but we can actually reach outside of that by integrating into Orchestrator to add extra scenarios to that Windows Azure Pack situation. Some components of service management automation. So it's comprised of a number of different components, which include a web service. This actually connects to the Windows Azure Pack framework and actually distributes runbook jobs to what we call runbook workers. So these are kind of roles within Windows Azure Pack. It supports HTTPS, as Windows Azure Pack does, and it also enables security groups to control access within the particular environment as well. So we have this concept of a runbook worker in Windows Azure Pack as well. This is actually the workhorse that executes the runbook jobs, and this actually typically runs under a service account within the Windows Azure Pack environment. And finally, we have the PowerShell module. So the PowerShell module enables automation management using Windows PowerShell commandlets, which is actually basically the fundamental way that the Windows Azure Pack SMA works.
For this particular course, I'll speak to this one here. So yeah. If you want to learn more about SMA, we actually developed an entire course on the Microsoft Virtual Academy here, which will give you a full day of training, specifically looking at SMA, how to set it up, how to integrate it with other systems, and there's even a module on it, how to integrate it with System Center Orchestrator. But I think we should probably spend a couple minutes kind of going back and taking a look at the key differences between Orchestrator and SMA. And for me, the biggest one conceptually here is that Orchestrator is a graphical-based engine that uses activities, whereas SMA uses PowerShell workflows. Now, let's also spend a minute kind of defining PowerShell workflows and talking about how they differentiate from traditional PowerShell. Now, with a PowerShell workflow, this is essentially a series of steps. And it kind of gives you more control over a PowerShell script. It allows you to pause it, create breakpoints, and resume it. So as opposed to a traditional script where you have to click go, it executes to the end, and if you restart, you go back to the beginning. With these workflows, we can kind of go through them serially, almost kind of more like a development tool where you can actually set these breakpoints and do this staggered testing one at a time. For me, that's kind of the key central difference here. Graphics-based authoring versus this core focus on using PowerShell workflows is kind of the underlying engine. Beyond that, Gordon, why don't you take us through these other differences that we have here?
Yeah, absolutely, as well. I mean, I think, you know, one of the fundamental things that Orchestrator is designed to do is to more automate typical IT business processes, yeah? So, you know, key examples of that are things like user onboarding. We've done quite a few of these out in the field. And you think about a user onboarding process, you know, it could be HR putting in some user details, address details, maybe taking a photo. They will then kind of speak to the AD team or create an AD account. The Exchange team may provision an account. We might have a SharePoint account created. We might use FIM to create a smart card. So there's a number of different processes that actually take physical man hours to be able to carry out. Now, Orchestrator is really designed to kind of fill that gap and automate those key processes. And it's runbook automation. If you think about where that term comes from, in traditional data centers, we used to have a runbook. And if a particular service went down, you know, the support engineer was on call, would go to that runbook and he would run through those steps to fix that particular problem. And it's that type of automation that we're doing within Orchestrator. Again, service management automation to differentiate is really designed just to automate processes that exist within Windows Azure Pack, which is an on-premise version of Windows Azure. Or again, you know, if we look at Azure automation as a comparison as well, that's designed to automate processes within the Microsoft Azure. Now, service management automation utilizes PowerShell authoring. And as Simon mentioned, that's the ability to be able to kind of do that stop-start workflow development type process within there. But Orchestrator utilizes graphic authoring. So if you're heavily into your PowerShell and you like writing PowerShell code from scratch, you'll probably very quickly get up and running with service management automation and understand the basics of that. But if you're not so much in there and you know you want to be able to graphically visualize a complicated PowerShell automation workflow, then you might turn that into an activity object, and then other people in the organization who aren't savvy with with PowerShell might be able to pick that up and run with that. So again, the service management automation utilizes the PowerShell workflow engine, where Orchestrate actually utilizes a UI-based runbook engine. So some key differentiators, and I think they both have their place within the enterprise. And actually, you know, they have a very good joined up hybrid type.
They can certainly coexist, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And again, I think one of the reasons for that is that Orchestrate has that REST API called the OREST API, where I can actually invoke runbooks directly from other sources. And you know, it's a really common way that SMA and Orchestrate work together.
Great, so where can people get most of these integration packs from?
Okay, so the integration packs can be downloaded from the following URL. So these are the Microsoft integration packs. But you know, actually I do want to say there's a great deal of non-Microsoft content available. There's a great community out there, and there's a lot of third-party vendors that do that. So we do have this new site called scorchcenter.com, which is an IP list on that. And if it's okay, I want to quickly show you that.
Sure, we can flip over here. Essentially, Scorch Center is a community site that I run here. And with this list of integration packs, we've actually gone and populated every single integration pack that we found out there. So using this, you can see that we have ones developed by the community, developed by third-party ISVs, such as Calvarian, developed by OEMs like Cisco, Dell, EMC, and then, of course, the ones by Microsoft ourselves. So if you want to have a complete list of all the integration packs beyond the ones that we are just covering today, go to scorchcenter.com/IP list and you'll get this complete and up-to-date list of every IP that you can see.
Yeah, and great site there. I've been using it quite a lot recently. You know, as an MVP, there's quite a lot of the fellow MVPs write content for Orchestrator, and quite a few of them on there as well. So definitely recommend you use that site too. If you're kind of hunting for stuff that's out there, because it's a single place to kind of search across all the available resources.
Excellent. Well, this wraps up our first module. We hope that you kind of learned the basics here of integration pack management, some best practices around designing them, and even how to go build them yourselves. Stay tuned for the rest of this course and go ahead and jump to the module that makes sense for you based on the particular workloads that you wish to automate with System Center Orchestrator. Thank you.